is going on, everybody? And thanks so much for joining us here again on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and joining me, I can't do it without him, the king of gluten, Kyle Filz.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here at Skeleton Studios. Allergy-free, the winds have died down, and my allergies, I've been feeling good today.
Yeah, I had asthma when I was a kid,
yep.
And so I have to have this inhaler, and it usually flares up like we've talked about. I still got this little, rattle in here.
I do too, yeah.
We'll get that out. But no, man, I feel great. I don't feel like my head's going to explode this time. We haven't been sneezing and runny water or running nose. And here's what's great. We've gotten some rain, and we got more rain coming. So hopefully no more fires, no more anything crazy.
Right?
But again, the tornadoes and stuff will pick up here before long. But anyhow.
I'm really excited because my garden is off to a great start. So this year, I got a wild bug, and I decided I'm going to start growing some veggies in the greenhouse instead of just all these plants that do nothing. My wife's got hundreds of plants, and none of them do anything. So I've grown gardens in the past, but I haven't in a couple of years. I'm off to a great start, man. I got zucchini. I got Brussels sprouts. I got squash. I got tomatoes. I got onion.
Dude.
I mean, I got all kinds of stuff growing, and they're flourishing. Now, I've never grown vegetables in a greenhouse before. I'm telling you, it makes a world of difference.
Well, you get a jump start, and then you can move them out.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what the plan is. So I'm super excited.
The only thing we got to watch is the hailstones coming.
Yeah.
Because then that'll really wreck a garden, because I've lost a garden to a hailstorm before.
Yeah. I mean, I got this greenhouse. We got it off of like Amazon or something. Well, we got one a year or two ago, and then the wind destroyed that thing, so we wanted to upgrade. We got a better one. It was missing one piece.
I remember this.
One piece. I called the company, and instead of sending me that one piece, they sent me a whole nother greenhouse. So all I can say is if you go on Amazon, you buy one of these greenhouses, throw one of the pieces away, you get two greenhouses.
Don't.
Okay. It may not work out for you. It worked out for me. Isn't it nice when stuff just works out like that?
Well, I bought a greenhouse on Kyle's recommendation, right? But I didn't go full greenhouse like they've got now, and I didn't go a little cheaper. I went one of the big pop-ups. It's got the nice metal frames in it and all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last big windstorm a few weeks ago, and I looked outside. No, now here's the crazy thing. I looked outside. It had broken its tie downs. It had flipped off of all the plants that we had in it. And it had traveled about probably 35, 40 yards. Okay?
Yeah.
Nothing was wrong with it. I flipped that thing back over. It had tore a little hole about as big as a dime. Everything on it's perfect.
That's awesome.
I have no idea how that happened. But I was like, all right. I had to go get it all set back up again and all that. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was going to be trash.
Yes.
100% going to be trash.
I'm super excited about that. Me and Luke, we went and watched the new Morbius movie. I thought it was pretty good. I'm not going to give away any spoilers, folks, but like it's got a good, cool premise to it. Like this doctor has this terrible, life-threatening disease, but something's wrong with his blood that he has to get, oil changes like two or three times a day to maintain his life. Well, turns out the kid's like wicked smart, figures out a way to infuse vampire bats with blood from a vampire bat into himself. It goes wild, but it's crazy because it's got a lot of cool. It's way better than the Batman movie. Now, listen, I know I'm simple-minded, so maybe y'all with like real deep thinkers out there, you probably like the Batman movie better than me. But for me and Luke, if there's not any action in the first 15 minutes or so, we're done. Like, that's why we're there, folks. That's why we're there, right? We want some popcorn. We got our Dr. Pepper. He's got him a small cheese pizza. We're having a good time. There's already action.
Like, if there's way too much talking, I'm going to a superhero movie. I want to see superhero things.
That's me. Like, maybe that's it. Maybe I just like I'm more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy.
Yeah.
I liked it. Little Fizzy, two thumbs up, so you can go on his word or not. Pretty good movie. What have you been up to?
Man, I have been running a daycare and rehab facility at my house, folks.
That's right.
I have been watching after my granddaughter some. Of course, I love that. We go get her all the chances we get. But, of course, y'all know my wife had surgery on her foot. So everything's going good, but she's non-weight bearing, so there's still things I have. So I do everything, right? So I'm running around Mr. Mom and it again, reliving. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot harder at 46 than it is at 26.
Yeah.
So, but no, that's all I've been doing. And everything's going good. The whole deal, my granddaughter's actually going to be in a pageant here.
Oh.
One of those, like the peach pageant thing.
Yeah.
She's going to be part of that. So,
we got
the dresses and the whole thing picked out. And I was thinking, here's the funny thing. They won't let me see her before the pageant. I have to be outside because I'm one of her favorite people. I actually might be her best friend. If you ask the rest of the family, they say yes. And so when she sees me, she goes crazy, right? So that's why they want me outside. So I don't even get to see anything until the moment they bring her on stage.
It makes sense. I mean, outside of mom and dad, she probably spends the most time with you, right?
Yeah, I think she does.
You're going to have to get the good lenses and do some photography.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll have to get everything going. Speaking of getting everything going, folks, we're going to get this going. I have something to share with you that jumped out and grabbed me. Of course, leave it up to Lon. He's always got, and he's like, hey, ba-boom, because he knows how I get all fired up for headlines. Invisible creature encountered in Allegheny National Forest in Pennsylvania, Brad.
Mm.
Two women were gathering in the Allegheny National Forest in Pennsylvania in 2009 when they noticed the movements of an invisible being, and what they saw was indications of it walking through the forest. This is what it says.
So like a glimmer man.
Yeah. Something happened to me and a buddy at a rainbow gathering in 2009 in Pennsylvania's Allegheny National Forest. It was right before the loads of people showed up and we were camped away from everyone else. We were alongside the main trail that goes from the parking area and leads down a large hill into the main clearing. It was dusk, so light was fading fast and we had a fire going. We were both sitting there having a deep conversation about life and spirituality when we decided to head down the trail to the clearing to find some food. At that moment, we were standing up, and some people who'd been walking up the trail stopped to take a break about 30 yards below us. Anna says, hey, do you hear that? I could clearly hear someone walking in the woods to our left. The thing is there was nothing, just the sound. And out that way, they were quite a ways from the main clearing and facing a direction of all lights and people. Says the footsteps could be heard coming from our left and below us, heading straight towards those people who were taking a break on the trail. I looked and saw nothing. Now where my eyes were, I said, I should be seeing what's making the noise of those steps. There was nothing to be seen, and I could actually see where the steps were landing, leaves being kicked up. Whatever it was walked up to those people on the trail, whom were talking with each other. None of them noticed anything, but the steps definitely slowed down as it made a turn going past them, like it was checking them out. Then it came straight at me and Anna. Anna was fumbling with her keychain, trying to find a little flashlight she had. Whatever was making those steps came right up to the other side of the fire pit without stopping. It approached slowly, and Anna pointed her light at it and said, hey! As if in response, it took off up the hill right past me, incredibly fast, kicking up leaves and dirt. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. The entire time, it sounded like an invisible child power walking, taking short, quick steps. And when it took off past me, it was still power walking, with small machine gun-like steps, if that makes any sense. There would have been no way for me to chase it. This thing was so fast, and we both took off running down the hill. This really happened. I don't think it was a ghost because it didn't seem human. I always leaned toward fairies or leprechauns for some reason. I had the distinct impression that the little invisible dude didn't realize it was being noticed. TJ.
Man, isn't that so common in so many of these sightings? Is whatever, for whatever reason, it's like they didn't know that you could see them. If they see you seeing them, they seem to be shocked. Like, why can they see us? It's one of those things. Like, it's almost like it has the ability to be in different worlds, if that makes sense.
Well, what's funny to me
different
about
dimensions.
It is it's invisible, but you notice they didn't describe it Glimmer Man-esque where there was any outline.
That's true.
Which makes it feel even more fey.
Right, like you can just hear it.
Exactly. Like, it's in that little... in the fray area or in that little nether region in between the worlds.
Right.
But it still interacts like that, right?
Leading over.
It's, there's so many ways to look at this, but when you, it still feels fey. All of this stuff in the woods, I don't know why, and not all of it feels evil, like we've discussed. It may not have been, there may be nothing more than this thing was just out checking what was going on. It's a party. It's a festival. You know, it's showing up to the lights. It's showing up to party.
How many times have you been in the woods hunting and you like hear stuff and you can hear the leaves and you're just like, oh, it's birds or it's armadillo. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was fey.
I've had that happen more times than not. Like I had said, you remember it was this past season. Remember when I told you about that turkey?
Yeah.
So, folks, I'm sitting in my tripod. I'm bow hunting, got my recurve. I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting right off probably, I would say, 45 or 50 yards off of a very deep creek. And the creek's, of course, it's real thick with woods either way, and the trails come up. And that's where the hogs will come out. The deer will use it too. Now, there's no water in this creek every now and again, of course.
When but it rains.
Yeah. But it doesn't hold water necessarily. So they use it as a corridor to travel. So I was sitting there this year, and I heard something coming, like, you know, you can hear the steps. Now, you know it's not a deer because of the noise it's actually making. But you can lightly hear steps. So I didn't know what this was. And moving from my right to left, which would be a more of a southern direction, heading more northerly, this thing comes scooting out. And it's a Tom, well, it's a Jake. It's a young male turkey. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
By itself. Now, rarely do you see turkeys in the wild always by themselves. You don't really see that. They kind of hang out together, right? Because it's safety in numbers. This Jake comes sprinting past me. Now, I have a big open area that I'm kind of hunting, and it's got mesquites in it where, you know, you can see a pretty good ways. I'd say I could probably see 100 yards left to right. He never slows down. He never, nothing. He runs right past me, right past everything. There's nothing, and runs off into the brush, and he's acting like something's chasing him. And you can hear things in the brush, but there's no way whatever was after him wouldn't have come right by where I was
at. Right.
So I have no idea what was pushing or driving this bird, but it wasn't running like it's going to feed. This thing was moving like it was being pursued.
Right.
And I never could, like I said, I could hear something. Now, what was crazy, like I talked about the sounds of the steps, when the bird passed, the sounds of the steps really didn't. It sounded like there was still, like I said, something following it. So it maybe wasn't the bird making the noise. I don't know, but I never saw what it was chasing that turkey.
Well, I've sat there numerous times, and like you can judge by how loud the sound is, mm-hmm. where it should be. And I'll be looking and be like, it sounds like it should be 10 feet from me, but I clearly don't see anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe that's Fay. I don't know.
Yeah. And I know it plays funny noises of noises kicking out of that creek bottom and echoing off of there and underneath the canopy of trees and stuff. And it makes crazy noises. I get it. Right. But I still don't know what caused that.
Yeah. Right. Check this out. This comes from a listener. It says, hey, guys, I just finished listening to your episode about caves.
Ooh.
In which you brought up Hannibal, Missouri's Mark Twain Cave. I'm actually from Hannibal. And I've been to the caves numerous times.
Awesome.
I decided to take it as a sign to finally ride in. Now, growing up, my mom and I lived with my grandparents in their old creepy house out in the country. Growing up from around the age 5 to 10 years old, I was terrified of that house after dark. My mom told me about how around age 6, I woke her up screaming about some lady being in my room staring at me. And my mom and I slept on the second floor, and my grandparents never went up there, so it couldn't have been them. Still, my mom went downstairs to see if they were awake. They were both asleep, and all the doors in the house were locked. She came back upstairs and said it must have been a dream. I refused to stay in my room and went to sleep in my mom's room. Now, in the morning, my mom told my grandma about what happened. Instead of being shocked, she pulled out an old photo book and pointed to an old photo of a young girl next to a woman. That woman was the same one staring at me last night. My grandma said growing up, my mom had seen the same woman. My mom must have forgotten or repressed it. Anyway, the woman was named Miss Timmons, and she was my grandma's old teacher as well as the previous owner of that house. I continued occasionally seeing Miss Timmons until around the age of 10 or 11. Now, the second ghost or spirit I can remember was a little girl named Wendy. Around age 6 or 7, my mom heard me talking to someone in my room. She peeked in, expecting maybe a friend was over or one of our dogs to be in there. However, it was just me looking at the wall and talking. She asked what I was doing, and I told her I was talking to my friend, Wendy. She asked what Wendy looked like and how old she was. I laughed and I said, can't you see her? She's standing right there. My mom shook her head and said to describe her. I pointed out an old figurine of my grandma's that she collected. The figurine I pointed to was of a little blonde girl. The figurine was also broken and the legs were cracked off. I said, Wendy looks like that, and she doesn't have any legs either. Her dad cut them off. Now, this disturbed my mom a lot. She continued asking questions, but didn't get much else out of me, apparently. Eventually, I stopped bringing up Wendy, which I'm sure relieved my mom. I'm not sure if Wendy was a ghost or not, as we never did research about the murders in the area. The last ghost I remember seeing was of my great-grandfather. Growing up, he was one of my best friends. I used to always go on walks with him and stayed the night at his house frequently. He was pretty fit for an old man. I was maybe 10 years old and had just gotten back from staying with him. I remember going to sleep that night and waking up halfway through it. Looking down at me in my bed was my great-grandpa. I remember asking what he was doing and him just smiling and walking out of the room. I thought it was odd, but I went back to sleep. The next morning, I asked my mom about him. She explained that he had died last night of a heart attack. I remember crying and explaining to her about that night. We took it as a sign of him saying goodbye. That's all the stories I have. Either I had some connection to the spirit world or as a kid, or a very overactive imagination. I'm not sure which. Well, that's a very cool story. Thank you for writing that in. You know, I may have mentioned this on the show before, but two times in my life, I don't remember this. Of course, I've never really had any paranormal experiences other than a green glob that I saw one night hunting. But my mother said in the passing of her mother and the passing of her grandmother, both instances, within two or three days of their death, she saw them in her room, walk down, leave the room, walk down the hall to where me and my brother slept.
I remember
both
her
times
saying
she's
that.
Saying that.
Yeah.
And like, of course, I never saw anything. I was asleep.
Yeah.
So we get emails all the time. This is very common where someone will see a loved one shortly after they pass away. Very cool story. Thanks for sending that,
that was,
in.
Oh, some of that. Woo.
Right?
Woo, yeah, that was. And I look, being a grandpa now, I would 100% believe that that's going to be real. Grandpas Gropes are going to come back.
Yep. Would torment people. Well, let's take a break, folks. We got to pay the bills around here. When we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some more haunted highways, crazy encounters from truck drivers. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. I want to start off this segment with a quick thank you to all the truck drivers who listen to this show. You're very important, and you're a very important part of our economy. And without you men and women out there delivering all of our goods, the world would be a whole lot different. In today's global economy, businesses are connected across long distances. Part of what drives the success of our national economy is the truck driving industry. Commercial truck drivers deliver much needed supplies, equipment, and other materials to businesses that are located in far off locations across the entire country. Without truck drivers, business owners would not be able to deliver and order the materials that are needed to run their companies. Each day, truckers bring fresh food, construction materials, and other essential items to locations all over the U.S., as well as in other countries too. Truck drivers deliver 10 billion tons of every commodity consumed and transport over $671 billion worth of goods each and every year. In fact, 70% of all freight moved in the U.S., ranging from the food industry to healthcare, is done by, you guessed it, trucks. Many people may not think twice about a truck passing them on the highway, but that truck could be delivering essential medical supplies to save someone's life. If trucks stopped, the economy and life as we know it would fall apart. If this were to happen, Americans would be in life-threatening situations from major delivery shortages in no time. Due to their time sensitivity, there are 7 industries that would suffer immediately if trucks stopped moving. These industries would include food, healthcare, transportation, retail, manufacturing, waste removal, and even banking. So, with so much time out on the road, is it any wonder why so many truckers out there have had their own run-in with the strange, the paranormal? On today's show, that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about. Like this first one with Mike and his encounter with a black dog from hell. Let's begin. Hey guys, my name is Mike. I'm a big fan, and I wanted to share a story with you and the other listeners. While driving my rig through the desert late one night, trying to get back to the yard, that's what we call the place where the tractor trailers are kept, the yard, I saw something that terrified me, deep into the belly of my soul. I always thought that it was a myth, a legend, an urban legend, something that truckers told themselves, you know, to keep themselves awake. But boy, was I wrong. You see, I am, well, was, a cross-country truck driver for the Remington Trucking Company, based out of a very popular city in California. I'm not married, I don't have any kids, so why not, right? I mean, I had everything I needed in my sleeper cab. I had a bed, a microwave, I had a mini fridge, a portable DVD player, a PlayStation, and a coffee pot. I could wash clothes, I could get a shower, and I could get some real food at a truck stop. And there always were lot lizards hanging around for any other needs, so to speak. Don't judge. Besides, cross-country truck drivers make a lot of money. Anyway, I know you don't care about that. You see, I grew up in Camp Springs, Maryland. And every time my parents and I would go visit my aunt and uncle and their family up in New Jersey, my father would always take exit 7A on the Jersey Turnpike. You know, the truck route. He would ride that thing all the way down to exit 15, where it ends, and merges back into the turnpike itself. He claimed that it was faster. And that's how I became infatuated with 18-wheelers. It scared the crap out of my mom sometimes, but she'd just close her eyes and try to sleep through it. I, on the other hand, I loved it. Anyway, when I graduated high school, I knew that I wanted to be a truck driver. So, I saved some money, I took some odd jobs here and there, and I finally landed a job at Billy's Burger Barn as a cashier. And I saved my money. And eventually I enrolled at a local truck driving school. I completed the 6-week course and finally got my CDL. The school actually helped me find a job at the Remington Trucking Company. It was all the way across the country, but it was a job, and I've been here ever since. Anyway, I packed up all my stuff, I said goodbye to my parents, and I got in the car and headed to sunny California. I worked here for a couple of years, drove their trucks, slept in the cab when I was out on the road, slept in the shop when I wasn't. I saved some money and eventually bought my own rig. It was a used neon green Kenworth W900. Man, I loved that rig. Well, that's enough about me. Let me tell you what happened. Now, what I'm about to tell you is something that I've never told anyone before. Well, except maybe my therapist. I was heading home after delivering a load of tables, chairs, and sitting booths to a bar in Florida. Some guy named John was remodeling the place. Anyway, I got on Route 66 in Albuquerque and began my final stretch home. It was around 2:30 in the morning, and it was a beautiful night out that night. The full moon shining down on the road, and not another vehicle in sight. Just me and the white lines, baby. I rolled the windows down letting in the cool night desert air. I turned on the radio, and I tuned it to KIOT, Coyote 102.5 Classic Rock. They were actually playing some decent songs that night. I drove down the road, rocking out, enjoying the trip for about an hour and a half. The radio station began to fade, so I just turned it off. I kept the windows down, and I just rolled on. With only the sound that I could hear was the engine humming and the wheels whining on the open road, and nothing to look at but those white lines. Now, I'm not sure if you know about it, but what's called white line fever. If you don't, then great. If you do, that's good too, but let me explain for those that don't. It's basically highway hypnosis. It can happen to anyone, especially when you're driving at night. That's when the lines on the road going by so quickly in a flashing pattern, well, they kind of hypnotize you. So you have no recollection of driving at all or anything that happened while you were in that altered state. No, I'm serious. You can go look it up. Anyway, I caught the fever. The last thing I remember was turning off the radio. And suddenly, I was sitting at a truck stop about 100 miles away from where I last remembered being. I blinked my eyes and I shook my head. Man, I need some coffee. That's what I told myself. I rolled the windows up, I shut off the truck, and I went inside. I got the largest cup of coffee they had. I added my cream and added some sugar, just how I like it. I went to the counter and I paid for it, and I went back out to my truck after I stretched my legs and walked around for a minute or so. I got in the truck and I took a drink of the coffee. Man, was it good. I put the cup in the holder, put my seatbelt on, company rules and all, and I started the truck. I wiped my eyes, put the truck in gear, and once again, I rolled out. I got back on the road and continued driving, drinking as much coffee as I possibly could, you know, to try and stay awake. Now, as we all know, coffee is full of caffeine, which helps keep us awake. But did you know that too much caffeine will actually cause it to counteract itself and have the total opposite effect? Well, after about 10 minutes of pounding back that coffee, my eyes began to feel heavy again. Wake up, Mike. I fought through it. You can make it. Wake up. But I was wrong. Again. As each mile marker passed, my eyes became heavier and heavier, and I felt myself starting to doze off. I shook my head to try to snap myself out of it and reached for my coffee cup. Now, in my sleepy state, I reached, but I couldn't feel the cup. I took my eyes off the road for just a second, seeing the cup and reaching out for it. I turned my hazy eyes back to the road, and that's when I saw it. The Black Dog. As I rolled down Route 66 heading west to California, eyes heavy, barely able to stay awake, my headlights beaming out into the darkness that stood before me, it appeared out of nowhere. Its eyes were blood red, its teeth sharp and shiny. Its coat was as black as the devil's soul, and its face was so hideous that I can't even describe it to you. That image will forever be burned into my subconscious mind. My headlights shined upon it as it ran, full speed down the center of the lane, directly towards the front of my truck. Holy crap, I thought, and I screamed to myself as I hit the brakes and whipped the cab hard to the right. My front passenger steer tire then went off the side of the road, falling a few inches onto some grass and heading straight for a ditch. My rear drive wheels were next to follow. In my panicked state, I tried correcting the turn by whipping the cab hard to the left. I thought I was successful until momentum and inertia took over, causing the trailer to slam hard into the driver's side rear drive tires, causing the cab to slide diagonally down the road. I then felt the entire truck start to flip over on its side. I said a little prayer instantly to myself. I put my hands over my eyes and let whatever was going to happen, happen. I screamed as the truck went over and slammed hard on the ground, flinging me around like a rag doll. Thank God I was wearing my seatbelt. I don't even want to think about what would have happened if I hadn't have been wearing it. Always wear your seatbelt. Anyway, the truck slid about 30 yards, but never went into the ditch. It almost did, but thankfully, it did not. The sound of glass breaking, grinding metal filled the air, as well as a thick gray smoke and the smell of oil and other fluids from the truck's engine. Luckily, the gas tank was not damaged in the crash. When it was all over, I just laid there, suspended almost upside down in the air, still in my seatbelt. Thankful to be alive, I reached up and I grabbed the oh shit bar and unlocked my seatbelt. My legs hit the gear shift and my body fell. I maneuvered my legs off of it, still holding onto the bar, and stood on top of the broken glass from the passenger side window, letting go of the bar. Now what happened next completely terrified me. I was about to call dispatch when I heard it. Now, I've heard other truckers talk about seeing the black dog and the wreck that followed, but I never heard anything like what happened to me. Maybe they left this part out. I don't know, because this was really messed up. As I stood there, I began to hear a low, growling sound that intensified with every passing second, until it was almost at a deafening tone. I then heard a loud thud, followed by scratching on the driver's side door, which was right above me. I'm glad I rolled the windows up when I left that truck stop, I thought, as that was the only window not cracked or broken. I saw bright red lights shoot across the window. Now, at first, I thought they were lights, but they were not. What in the hell is that? I said, followed by another round of loud thud noises and scratching. Now, for some reason, I turned and looked out the windshield, which was severely cracked. That's when I saw two bright red eyes staring directly at me through the cracked windshield. This thing was mere inches away from me. Its face came into focus. Its snout was pulsating as it opened its mouth, revealing row after row of immensely white teeth. No, not teeth. Fangs. It was drooling and foaming at the mouth. It looked like Cujo. I screamed and jumped between the driver's seat and the passenger seat into the sleeper, which was totally destroyed, by the way. My shoulder landing hard on the edge of the mini fridge. I thought I broke it. I screamed out in pain. I grabbed my shoulder and sat down on the top of my now broken microwave. I hunched over as far as I could and I ducked my head down so that I couldn't be seen. The dog then barked the most loudest and most demonic evil bark that I've ever heard. Worse than those evil dogs in the 1980s horror movie Devil Dogs. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not a religious man. I mean, I believe in God. I carry a Bible with me on these long trips and all that good stuff, but I don't go to church, and I've never really read the Bible, only a few verses here and there. But at that moment in time, boy, I wished I did. Anyway, I saw my Bible amidst all the rubble, and I picked it up, and I held it close to my chest, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. For whatever this thing was, please, God, make it go away. Now, periodically, I would stick my head up above the side of the passenger seat, and I would see it still standing there, just growling and barking, for the next 3.5 hours. Now, as I said before, I never really told anyone this story besides my therapist. Well, come to mind, a guy named Rooster, I told him as well. You see, I'd been having night terrors because of it. And I would wake up screaming in the middle of the night about 3 to 4 times a week. It traumatized me so much that I stopped driving at night altogether in fear of seeing that dog. I knew I needed help, so I called a therapist and I told her the story, and I told her about my night terrors. She diagnosed me with some form of PTSD and prescribed Zoloft once a day. I usually take it at night since it makes me drowsy. Anyway, it helps a little bit. I don't wake up screaming half as much. She also suggested that instead of keeping the whole traumatic experience bottled up inside of me, that I should go out and tell as many people as I possibly could what happened. So that's what I'm doing. Anyway, back to the story. Like I was saying, the dog stood there for 3.5 hours. Suddenly I heard the sound of something heavy hitting the glass. I stuck my head above the seat, but I couldn't see anything. I just stayed in place, and I hid in the cab of my truck until the morning. I was paralyzed with fear, and let me tell you, I wasn't going anywhere, not until it was daylight. Periodically, I could hear something walking around the outside of the truck, but this lasted all the way until daylight. When the sky started to brighten, I took a deep breath, and my fear began to subside. I set the Bible on the microwave next to me, and I pulled out my phone. I then called dispatch. I gave them my location. I told them that I flipped my truck and how long I had been out there. But I didn't tell them what really happened. Dispatch said they would send out a recovery rotator truck and a heavy-duty tow truck. I thanked them and ended the conversation, putting my phone back in my pocket. I then took a deep breath, slowly crept over the passenger seat, reached up, and grabbed my CB. I pressed the button and said, "Breaker 19, this is Big Mike. I am 1034, in need of assistance. Anyone got their ears on out there? Come back." I was hoping the CB was still working. Shortly after I put that out on the radio, I got a response. It said, "Yeah, Big Mike, this is Red Rooster. I hear you're 1034. What's your 20? I then gave him my location, and that's what 20 means in trucker lingo. Anyway, about 30 minutes went by when I heard the sound of air brakes. I stood up on the side of the seat and looked out the driver's side window to see a red 18-wheeler stopped on the shoulder of the road right behind my truck. I then climbed out of the window, maneuvered over to the hood, slid down it to the ground below. I walked around the front of my truck and began walking over to the red truck. A long, red-haired, older gentleman climbed out of the cab. He met me halfway and shook my hand. We introduced ourselves to each other, and he reminded me of kind of like Willie Nelson, wearing a cowboy hat and a pair of cowboy boots. Anyway, he looked at my truck and he asked me what the hell happened. And I told him. He said, "Yeah, I've heard about sightings of him from other truckers, but I've never seen anything like that personally. I thought it was just an urban legend, an old tale to scare lonely truckers. Are you all right?" he asked. "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just a bit shaken up," I answered. "My shoulder, I'm not going to lie, was killing me." I told him about hitting it. Anyway, he then invited me to sit inside his truck and said he would wait with me until the recovery truck arrived. We talked for about an hour. We talked about everything under the sun, drinking coffee, telling jokes, and laughing. He had his own coffee maker. Anyway, the recovery truck and the tow truck finally arrived. It was around 9:30 at that point. It took him about 4.5 hours to get my truck upright. The cops had to shut down the westbound lane to do so, and they gave me a ticket for inattentive driving. I paid it without saying anything about what really happened. The judge wouldn't have believed me anyway. Now, once my truck was back upright and I'd have secured a ride home from the tow truck driver, I said goodbye to Rooster. He climbed back in his truck, hit the horn a couple times, and just rolled on. He was a good man. I hope our paths cross again one day, under better circumstances, of course. Anyway, I then took a look at the damage. It was massive. I was lucky to be alive. If I would have went left and fell on the driver's side, I surely would have died. That's it. I'm done. That's what I told myself. Once was enough for me. I never stepped foot in a big rig ever again. The owner of the trucking company was nice enough to have the truck towed back to the shop at his expense. I signed it over to him, and he put it, damaged and all, in the side yard of the shop, with a sign across the windshield that reads, "Believe the Myth." Now, even though I don't drive or ride in a truck anymore, I still work there. I'm now in charge of dispatch. The old dispatcher took my job. Good luck to him. Anyway, it pays a lot less money, but I'm okay with that. I don't have to worry about seeing that dog ever again. Now I assign drivers and their loads, providing mapping information, ensure the product is loaded properly, as well as many other things. I live in a small house not too far from my office. My life is pretty good. I don't mess with lot lizards anymore. No, I got a real girlfriend named Cindy. I met her at a local restaurant a few years ago. We both listen to your show religiously. My shoulder is doing fine. It was just badly bruised. Now, in closing, I would just like to say that for any of you truckers out there, if you feel your eyes getting heavy and it's hard to focus on the road, please, please promise me that you'll stop. Pull over on the side of the road, stop at a gas station, stop somewhere, because the black dog is no myth. It's no legend, no. That dog is real, and I've seen it. Thanks, Mike. Holy cow. That's a story, folks. Thank you, Mike, for sending that in. I've heard lots of legends of black dogs out there. I mean, phantom dogs, they exist everywhere, even in the UK. There's lots of sightings of black cats, black dogs. Same here in the U.S. Same as in South America. They got lots of sightings. Very cool. I know that there's actual black cats living in South America. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about phantom dogs, folks. Phantom cats, not real ones. I don't know. Scary. I've, you know, lots of places have these urban legends and tales, but people claim to see them. Did he really see it? Or, you know, like you said, was he put in some hypnotic state that caused him to wreck and caused him, whacked his head hard, and he hallucinated the whole thing? I don't know. Very interesting. I got another one. Check this out. This one has to deal with a possible time slip or alien abduction. The writer doesn't seem to really know, but very interesting nonetheless. It says, "I was fairly new to the whole truck driving experience. I took up that lifestyle about 6 years ago after I suffered an excruciating 10-year gig at a health insurance call center. With this new driving job, I typically transported auto mechanic parts statewide. The job paid fairly well for my humble lifestyle as a bachelor and granted me adventure with every route. Those 6 months were so liberating compared to the 9-to-5 hellhole that I gradually chipped away at my sanity. I couldn't take another second of sitting in that suffocating cubicle without going absolutely psychotic or strangling myself with my headset cord. The open road was the savior of my soul. I spent every day traveling somewhere new, in my own truck, and blasting my own music. Long gone were the constant hums of countless telephones ringing and the mundane chatter of soulless office consultants. I had been able to explore the nooks of my state, and I've met interesting characters during those travels. Despite the liberation that truck driving delivers, after this one of my journeys, I was ready to hang my hat and leave this industry altogether. You see, the last route took me along a desolate old dirt road out in the boony outskirts of Amarillo, Texas. The delivery started as any other. I was to transport some custom automobile parts to a receiving facility in the heart of Amarillo. With my departure beginning in Fort Worth, I had quite an extensive drive ahead through the monotonous plains of Northwest Texas. The drive was unremarkable and lengthy. I drove through numerous boonie towns that consisted of rusted buildings and dilapidated streets. The interstate highways offered no saving grace from the dull drive. Vast brown plains extended on either side of my truck, while mesquite trees folded over them. Starved for a drop of water, dried tumbleweeds skittered alongside the dry breeze, as if in an effort to escape the scorched earth. The pattern of monotony persisted until I reached about 70 miles outside of my destination. Twinkling stars danced along the night sky's horizon as the brights of my headlights illuminated the vacant two-way road ahead. It had been over an hour since a vehicle had sped past my truck, and at the mile marker labeled 140, not a living soul besides myself inhabited the road. I was alone. At my sides, looming shadows of tangled foliage erupted from the pitch black plains, their dead branches curled up like wretched claws, reaching for the glimmering stars in the inky sky. The empty road ahead, coupled with the silence of my cab, caused a creepy eeriness down into the roots of my soul. I knew just the cure for this dilemma. I began to quickly fumble with the radio dial, seeking to cure the unease of the piercing silence and have a listen to damper the atmosphere. I was met with a droning static sound, and each radio station I tried to dial through, I never got anything. I furrowed my brow as I knew the lack of radio signal should have been impossible with my proximity to a big city. I sped past mile marker 66, which, quizzically pondering the cause of the radio's inability to receive the signal. What I mean is, I alternated from peering at the radio and back to the desolate road when a flicker of light caught my eye. In one of the side mirrors of my truck, the pinprick of single headlight shone through the immense darkness behind me. Finally, I thought, a motorcyclist embarking on a late-night cruise will relieve my perturbed spirit. I sighed a breath of relief as the loneliness began to dissipate from my racing mind. I turned off the radio and refocused my attention to the long stretch of road ahead. I peeked back at my side mirrors to check on my lone companion. My breath caught me dry in my throat. What was once a pinprick of light evolved into a bright orb of luminosity in only a matter of a few seconds. How did this traveler manage to close the distance that soon? Their figure was still obscured by the cloak of darkness, but their headlight was rapidly intensifying as they sped forward. I slowed my speed to allow the traveler to bypass my truck. I glanced back at my left side mirror to discover the motorcyclist was now maintaining a healthy distance behind my truck. My heart stopped as, upon closer inspection, all of my previous presumption of this person were immediately rendered false. This was no motorcyclist at all. In fact, it looked like a bicyclist. How in the hell did this pedaled means of locomotion move so damn fast? Perplexed, my eyes squinted to further study the phenomenon. Almost immediately, my situation went from quite odd to absolutely terrifying. The figure was entirely naked. It had smooth white skin, and it was tall and thin. Impossibly long, crooked arms extended from the handlebars of the bicycle. Pointed elbows jutted outwards towards the dark sky, as enormous what looked like claws gripped the bike's handles. This person, or whatever it was, legs were too long for its body. Its sharp knees projected outwards, meeting its wretched elbows. The figure was proportionally comical. What I mean is, its body was just too damn tall compared to the bicycle's petite frame. Its face was the most horrifying of all. It was entirely smooth and devoid of both eyes and a nose. White skin stretched over its hollow eye sockets all the way down to a sharp, spear-like chin. However, an incredibly wide mouth extended to where its ears should have been. Rows of jagged teeth, similar to that of a shark's, and decorated an impossibly broad smile. It pedaled with a merry tempo, slowly zigzagging while its long limbs slid past each other in a disgusting-looking dance. I was confused. I didn't know what I was looking at. I knew that I must have been dreaming or somehow imagining all this. The lull of the road must have put me in some sort of trance. And I know I had to be hallucinating this hellish-looking figure. I floored the gas pedal. My heart pounded as the truck's engine roared with all of the horsepower it could muster. I could see the bike's headlight fade into a minuscule ball of light in the distance behind us as my speed increased. I exhaled and trapped air from my lungs, and as the figure disappeared from my view, I felt relieved. An anxious sweat slithered down the goosebumps on my neck as my heart strained to regain its regular rhythm. What the hell was that thing? My mind pondered. My truck regained a much more legal speed as the adrenaline began to decline. My eyes captured another mile marker along the side of the barren road, mile 66. I said, no, hell no. This mile marker should long be gone. I know that I passed that thing before the creature made its appearance. I had no choice but to press forward. What other option did I have? My tight grip on the steering wheel caused my knuckles to turn bone white. I made another glance at my mirrors. My gaze was met with an empty road behind me. Thank God. I tried to regulate my breathing as my eyes shifted to the shadowy plains on my left. What I witnessed almost caused me to swerve off the road. Somehow, while driving out there, I experienced some missing time. I had jumped forward in time and was now much closer to my destination than I should have been. I somehow sort of time slipped or time jumped. During this jump, me and my truck were 70 miles or so further than we should have been. And during that time jump, that's when I saw that bizarre creature on a bicycle, for God's sakes. None of this made any sense. I made it to Amarillo not long after. I delivered my shipment and phoned my boss immediately, giving him my resignation. I have no idea what happened on that forsaken night. I don't know what that creature was, and I've thought about it a lot. Did I accidentally drive through some sort of portal? The ball of light. Was it actually a UFO, and I was abducted by aliens? And the vision of that strange creature was actually some sort of false memory that they tried to put in my head, but somehow they messed it up a little with the bicycle and everything. I don't know. I do know that lots of other abductees talk about missing time, which I had. Some of them talk about how they were either further away than they should have been, or somehow they were closer to where they should have been. People who were supposed to be on a 3-hour drive from one destination to another, for some reason it took them 8. I don't know what happened to me that night, but it has changed my outlook on life. I now work for an auto glass repair shop and enjoy my job. I feel very fulfilled in my new career. I wish I had an explanation for what I experienced that night. I've had no other experiences with strange lights, creatures, or missing time. But I did once. Thank you, too, for all you do. Kevin. Wow, Kevin. Man, I don't know what happened to you, but something did. But I like your description of how when you were looking at the thing, you knew it wasn't right, like it didn't make sense. I don't know. I hope you enjoyed those stories. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Back with Expanded Perspectives.
Kyle.
Hope you like those stories, man. Very interesting, very crazy, whether it's black devil dogs on a lonely highway or time slips, alien abduction, I'm not sure. But I like those stories, and I've got good news. I got a lot more, so there's going to be more stuff for me to talk about on future episodes and elite shows as well. Cam, what do you got planned for your weekend?
Man. I've got a lot. I've got to conduct a wedding this weekend.
Back to marrying folks.
Yeah, this one's just a little private deal that I'm going to go do for some people. And what else? My great niece has a volleyball tournament that we may pop in. But other than that, I don't really know of a whole lot. With this weather going, of course, I'd like to get outside. Man, I'm dying to kayak fish, and I'm dying to play a little disc golf, but we've just not had any time with all of this. So once we get back and everything gets in the swing, and I think my wife will be able to be weight-bearing next week. So once that starts, then I'm free to go about.
When it comes to marrying folks, do you have to do like recertification courses to keep your license? Like, how does that work?
All they have to do is say, will you? And I'm like, all right, do you? And then that's the way it works.
Good. I don't know if they quizzed you.
No.
Like Bible study. What happened when so-and-so behead somebody?
Now, don't forget now, you know, we were turned into priests, and you were, what did you become right after?
I became an archbishop.
That's right. We may have talked about that before. I'm pretty sure we have. But that was one of those drunken nights right out of high school. We all decided we were going to
join the Universal Life Church.
Right? I still have all my paperwork.
I have a card, and it's in a drawer along with my Blockbuster card. Everything. Yeah. Like, I got all these cards.
Dude, I still have a Weatherford
Public Library card. I got one somewhere. I took Luke to the library this week. He wanted to get some Goosebump books.
They just won an award,
and that's the first time I've been in that library in a good 15 years, and it looked almost exactly the same. You wouldn't believe the amount of VHS tapes they have in there that you can still rent. And I'm like, who?
Maybe they rent VCRs, too.
Is renting VHS tapes? And I'll tell you, me and Luke were the youngest folks in there by a long shot. I saw an old guy. They have these community computers in there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, you know, for those that don't know, Weatherford's a small town. So our library is not very big.
It used to be a lot smaller.
It seemed bigger when I was a kid, but when you go in there now, it's a joke. But there's an old man in there. I could see up on his monitor. He had like AOL. He was checking his email. I mean, you're talking about old school. There was an old woman at the counter talking to the young girl. She wants to send somebody a picture, doesn't know how to email the photo to the woman. I hear the young girl trying to help her out. I'm like, oh, my God. That's going to be me.
That's right.
Luke got his books and everything and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
It won an award. The library won an award. It's one of 10 libraries. And I forgot the distinguished award, but it just received it this week.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. One of 10 in the state of Texas to receive this award.
I think
they do it every year and they give them out. And I think there's over, what'd they say? Because I think there's I thought I read 582 libraries. Public libraries in the state of Texas. I think that's what it was, something like that.
I bet a lot of them are going away, though, just like newspapers and magazines. Like, just people get everything digital.
Gosh, I love a bookstore.
I do too. That's like when I was in there, there was just old folks in there.
Yeah, and just in a library, just like I've always said, my biggest dream was to always have like a big chamber with like the ladders that go up and the handrails, and it's just full of old esoteric books.
Well, you can still do that. We're about quarter way there. I mean, have you seen how many books this show has acquired over the last 9 years?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, dozens. You know those little places where you can donate books? I constantly donate books from the Expanded Perspectives Library.
Take some and, yeah.
Because I've read them, and like some of the stuff in there we've used, I'm like, I'm never going to use that again.
Yeah,
put them in there. Or the publishing companies send duplicates, so sometimes I'll get three of the same book.
Yeah.
It even has stickers on there and stamps that says, like, not for resale. Well, I can give them away.
And give them to other people that want to read them.
Right, very cool. Speaking of cool, you just mentioned doing some kayak fishing. I saw your boy Robert Field recently hooked up to like a 500-pound marlin, and the thing drug him like 15 miles offshore.
That happened, I think, a year or so ago.
Really?
When he was down in Panama, I believe. And dude, they go on sleigh rides in Panama on the rig down there. So I want to get down there and fish it real bad.
That looks like a lot of fun. Speaking of fun, folks, if you want more of Expanded Perspectives, don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. Go to the website expandedperspectives.com/elite, or just go to expandedperspectives.com.
That's what it sounds like, folks. He's done. That's it. It's over. He's
just
finished.
Locked up.
Look at him go. Wow. Is there a carbon monoxide leak in here?
Click on the Elite tab. I'm going to be talking about the new Phil Schneider incident on the next episode.
Jangalang.
Right. Don't forget to subscribe to us on wherever you're listening, write us a review. Subscribe to us on YouTube.
That helps us out. Hey, right? Spotify reviews.
Everything.
We got to get some Spotify reviews, folks. Please, we got to pump them numbers up, them rookie numbers.
That's right.
And they don't transfer over like I thought they would because I'm stupid. So, yeah, I need y'all to write some on Spotify. Please. Right.
Don't forget to go check out Jim Harold's Campfire.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget about HelloFresh and Microdose Gummies.
Jump over to Jim Harold right now. Right when you get done listening to us. Hop over and listen to Jim. He's got some great stories wrapping on up.
Right. Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle.
He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.